Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast, with your host, Superbeard Vince Hoover, and his co-host, Jason Q. Perez and Denise Jackson, a podcast for the indoctrinated nerd, the casual fan, and everyone in between. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the seventh episode of Two Geeks and a Noob podcast. Now, you may notice that we are one geek short, but that's okay. Q's a little under the weather, so he's taking the week off. But that doesn't mean we can't still have some fun. Also, make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you know every time we put a video up. Because it's not just the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast. I've got a Bearded Perspective reviews. Pretty soon we're going to have History of videos. It's going to be a lot of fun. So hit that notification bell. And comment down below when anything, you know, tickles your fancy. Let us know what you think.
Tickles your fancy.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea where that came from.
But, you know what? On a different level, I didn't get what we normally get when it says recording in progress. Are you sure we're recording?
We are recording. I'm just not recording on Zoom.
Oh, so that's why. What are we recording on?
We're recording on Streamlabs OBS. It is a broadcast service that we use. That's how we get our layouts. That's how we get our nice, beautiful green backgrounds and our names and all that stuff. So I'm recording there.
Nice.
I realize that recording on Zoom, while a decent backup, actually eats up a ton of memory on my computer. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'll do it when we have guests and stuff just for double backup, but It's fine for now. So as we jump into this week, we are now a week removed from the Loki season finale. And we've had a week to process everything going on. There has been just countless videos online trying to explain everything. All of them from a different perspective. All of them, like, it's been every end of the spectrum as far as explaining things. How do you feel a week removed from Loki, and now that you, like, you don't have anything to look forward to, like, how does it feel? Like, how did the series feel for you, and how does it feel knowing we still got to wait until August for the next show?
I feel like they're building up for something really, really big. A lot of information was given the series. I think the biggest shocker for me was the fact that it wasn't King Loki or anything Loki related at the end. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how exactly that's going to play out. What about you?
I loved the ending. I love the series. I did watch today, because it did come out today. They have what's called Marvel Assembled. And it comes out. And what it is, it's a documentary. It's an hour-long documentary that they put out after each series. So WandaVision got one. It's a behind-the-scenes documentary.
Okay.
Falcon and Winter Soldier got one, and the Loki one. Now the Wanda one and the Falcon one, they're good, but you didn't learn too much from them. I learned a lot from the Assembled, so I will recommend that you go watch that. It's on Disney Plus now. It came out today. I learned a lot about, like, the process and how they made it, the kind of the plans they were gonna do that they had to, like, yeah, that's a little bit too ambitious, or that's a little bit crazy. Let's not go that way. It does confirm that Jonathan Majors' character, He Who Remains, is not Kang.
Oh, really?
Kang is a variant of him.
Oh, well, we already knew that. I thought that was already a thing.
But people were like, yeah, but he's Kang. Well, it's just like how Sylvie says, I'm not Loki, I'm me.
Well, if that's the case, Loki would be kissing himself, if that's the case. Yeah.
Well, they also went deeper into Sylvie. And they confirmed that it is Sylvie Lushton, the second Enchantress in the comic, mixed with a bit of the original Enchantress, mixed with a female Loki.
Okay.
But most of what her personality comes from isn't the female Loki character at all from the comics. It's mainly Enchantress, just in a female Loki body.
Huh.
So that's going to make some people happy. It's going to upset some people who want to see Enchantress. And now we know we're probably not going to get Enchantress by herself, because Sylvie's going to be that role. But also, Sylvie's not gone. So we could see her kind of more take into that role. But, like, the whole documentary was really cool. Seeing Tom Hiddleston's love for this character is just insane. Where Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, God bless them, they were amazing. But they're both like, we're done. We can't do this anymore. We want to spread our wings. We want to do other things. Especially Chris Evans. He's a very creative person. And he likes to get out there and try different things. He's like, I can't be locked down again. And Tom Hiddleston's like, I'll play Loki to the day I die.
Well, yeah.
He's like, I love this.
It's kind of like Harry Potter not wanting to just be known as Harry Potter. You know, we've seen him in a lot of awesome roles, like Guns Akimbo. Is that Kimbo? Am I saying that correctly?
Guns Akimbo, yeah. What a great...
Oh my God.
What a great, ridiculous film.
Yes.
That is. That is such a great... Just
or what's the other one? The Army...
Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man.
Another great, ridiculous film.
Yeah.
And I...
But it's Harry Potter, but you don't think about Harry Potter when you watch it.
I definitely didn't in Guns Akimbo. There was no... And he's a very versatile actor, and I like him a lot. But I can understand where he's coming from. I can understand where Chris Evans is coming from. I can see both sides.
Yeah.
See, I know for me, if I had gotten a part in Marvel, and they're like, "Well, you have to sign a 15-year contract," I'm like, "Can we make it 25? Like, I'll do this on the day I die." But at the same time, I can understand because their actors are very different people. Like, there's the creative, mind-bending ones. Like Ralph Fiennes is Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm sorry. Ralph Fiennes is another great example, but Daniel Day-Lewis, he's retired from acting because he's so tired, because he's a method actor to the extreme. He becomes so much like he did Gangs of New York, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh my God. Yeah.
His character has a glass eye, and there's a scene where he takes a knife and he taps it against his eye. He had a full piece of prosthetic glass put over his eye for the entire film, not just that scene, so that he could live like he had a glass eye like that. And he was that way. He didn't blink either. But he wore it. He also wore it when he wasn't filming. He wore it almost 24/7 to the point where he actually almost lost vision in his eye.
Wow, like, that's interesting.
Like, that's kind of like he was that kind of method. Like he was like, and then you hear about like Jared Leto when he became the Joker in Suicide Squad was sending presents to the cast of like dead rats and, you know, his blood in a vial and stuff like that. And it was weird. Like it's again taking these characters a little bit too far, but that's a method actor. And then you have people like Chris Evans, who's a very creative person, and he just wants to expand on what he does and try different things. And then you've got people like Tom Hiddleston, who he's a Shakespearean classically trained actor.
I can see that.
But he just fell in love with the role, but he fell in love with the fans. And he actually there's video of it when he did San Diego Comic-Con before the first Avengers film, or it might have been right after it. And it's him coming, like he's like, "Hey, should I come out in costume? Like, should I just come out as Loki?" And then the fans' reaction, and he had full control of the crowd, and you see it was like Disturbed on stage.
That's awesome.
It was that kind of power. He's like, "Say my name.
My brothers and my sisters."
Yeah. He's like, "Say my name, Loki. Say my name, Loki."
That's awesome.
"Say my name." And he's like controlling the crowd. And he is such, and when you see him doing interviews, he's such a lighthearted and humble and just, he's not egotistic. He's not narcissistic. He's not Loki. But he was able to grab it. Like, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. He got it, that power. So I will recommend, like, if you got, I think it's like 45 minutes. If you got a chance to watch it, like, pop it on. It's really, really great.
Because we have to wait so long for the next season of Loki, so you might as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. And we still have to wait a couple weeks till we get What If.
Oh yeah,
that's August 11th.
That is so cool. I love that so much. Those theories are amazing.
I'm so excited for it, and the fact that I know that when it was being pitched and when they originally talked about it, when it first was said, "Hey, we're gonna do this," and I've been a big fan of What If comics. Like, I remember, like, I got into comics because of Christopher Reeves and Superman, the first Superman movie. I watched it as a kid, and just I fell in love with the character, and I've gotten to comics. But I was so young that getting into comics, I just found a comic and saw something I liked, and I grabbed it. So I wasn't a DC guy or a Marvel guy. I was a comic guy. So I remember reading Spider-Man. I remember seeing the What If one. So I'm like, now I'm like 10, 11, 12. I've been reading for about, you know, 5, 6 years. And then these What If comics. It's like, what if Spider-Man was the Punisher? Or what if the Punisher was Spider-Man? Like, got the Spider-Man powers. What if, you know, there was these different stories, like different things, like what if the X-Men lost the Inferno saga, and, you know, what if Spider-Man didn't give up the cosmic powers, because at one point he had cosmic powers to fight a cosmic being. He was the one chosen. So it's like, what if he didn't give it up, that kind of stuff. What if, you know, he never gave up Venom, you know, that kind of thing. I know I'm talking about Spider-Man a lot, but there's a lot of other stories as well.
Spider-Man is awesome. So What If has been around a lot longer than I know then.
Yeah, it's been
so
since
I
the,
thought like
since
this
the
is
80s.
A new thing.
No, it was in the comics.
They've been doing this.
It was in the comics. They did a run in the 80s up until early 90s. They brought it back for a little bit, instead of it being an actual like run, like the original run, it was just one shots here and there. Like, what if this happened? What if this happened?
Tell me your favorites then that you remember.
I always loved the very first one I ever picked up was the What If the Punisher had Spider-Man's powers. And so think about Frank Castle and the Punisher and what he does already.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine him with Spider-Man's powers. That's amazing.
Okay.
That's like you're talking about taking things up. Now he's able to kill people with his bare hand, like superpowered people with his bare hands. It was a crazy comic because then he was in a Spider-Man suit, but it had like the skull on it, but with spider's legs off of it and everything. It was really cool. That one's really good. The one where the X-Men lost the Inferno Saga. So the ones I kind of already mentioned were kind of the reason they popped in my head is because they are my favorites.
Yeah.
The one where Spider-Man had the cosmic powers. And he was given those, I want to say, by the Living Tribunal, which was the three-headed statue you saw in Loki.
Right.
The actual person that statue is based off of, the judge of the universe. He gave him the powers, and he basically went by the title Mr. Universe during that time. Because everyone who gets the powers has a very similar costume. It takes your costume into consideration, but you're mostly white with a blue mask that's a galaxy. So it's like stars and planets and stuff. It's really cool looking. But when you get that power, you're supposed to complete whatever your mission is, and then the power goes back to the Living Tribunal. In that comic, he doesn't give it back. He decides that I can do so much more with this. But even the humble Peter Parker who lives by the with great power comes great responsibility. He fell into the power corrupts absolute, power corrupts absolutely. And he started to treat himself like a god. And he started to judge people. Like, he started to take things into his own hands and reshape reality, stuff like that. So
he channeled Thanos.
MCU Thanos. Because comic Thanos was not anywhere near as altruistic as he seemed in MCU. In the comics, the whole reason he wanted to kill half the universe was simply to impress the girl he wanted to be with, who happened to be Death. Lady Death. So in Marvel, the Death is a woman.
Wow.
Tell me it wasn't written by men in the 60s.
Is it kind of like Lilith? Did they like bring that into it?
Not really. It's more like the Grim Reaper, but as a woman. Like, so she wears just a black cloak, and she has this beautiful face until it's in the light. And then it's just a skull.
Wow, neat.
Thanos was in love with her. Loved her eternally. So as a gift, he got all the Infinity Stones together, created the Infinity Gauntlet, and he wanted to snap away half the universe because obviously Death wants more death. So by snapping away half the universe, he gives her what she wants. But it still didn't work. And then
do you think that they're going to pull that into it?
Not at all. Mainly because they're done with Thanos for the most part.
Okay.
And I don't know if Lady Death, because Hela is kind of Lady Death. Like, she is the Asgardian keeper of hell.
Yeah.
So she was their Lady Death, but like it's like on a smaller scale where Death was the actual universe's death. She was the Asgardian version of that. So they've kind of already dealt with it. But funny enough, Deadpool ends up marrying Death in a comic. And Thanos gets so pissed that he makes him immortal so he can't die and be with her.
Yeah, but how would that pull into who Deadpool's already married to? Or does she have some accident that makes her that person?
The only way they would bring in Lady Death is through Deadpool, but I don't think they'll do it. I think they're going to stick with him just having his girlfriend in the thing.
Okay.
And like I made a video last week about we got our first MCU interaction for Deadpool. He sat with Korg on the couch and they reviewed Free Guy, which I'm really looking forward to. So that was cool. But yeah, with Deadpool, I don't think Lady Death will ever appear. Also, I think it's because, I mean, that's kind of just like as dark as Hela was, she isn't anywhere close to as dark as Lady Death is.
Okay.
Because Lady Death's whole thing is, she's literally that. She's just death. She is literally death. So there's no redeeming quality to her. She doesn't even speak. Like, there's no redeeming qualities to her at all. She is literally just, it's your time. You're dead.
Done.
Like right. it's just what it is. It's kind of like, do you remember the movie Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes, of course.
Do you remember when Ian McKellen came out of the movie theater? Like, and a lot of people don't even realize it was Ian McKellen, but remember the black and white Grim Reaper walking to
yes.
him?
Yes. Yeah.
He's like,
neat.
He's
okay.
Like, it was kind of like that. See, he was like emotionless, even though he talked. Like he was kind of like just very monotone and emotionless. He's like, I'm not here
I
for
just
you.
Watched that the other day.
Isn't that
just
such a
because
great, such a great film?
It is. You have to watch it.
Again, it's one of,
if you haven't watched it, you have to watch it.
It's one of those movies that it's, if you read the script, you'd think it was a horrible film.
Yeah.
Like if it was a book, it would not do well at all.
Yeah, no.
It is truly a almost perfect example of a 90s action film, and it's making fun of 90s action films.
It really is. Yeah,
it's so good.
It really
is good. That one, like Demolition Man.
Yeah.
I
love Demolition Man. I love when they get the tickets for cursing. That is so funny.
Yeah, and he uses it as toilet and he uses it as toilet paper.
Yes.
I still want to know what the three shells do.
I know, me too. They never say.
No, they never do.
What the heck?
What is the three shells? No, I love that depending on where you were in the world, like we got Taco Bell as the winner of the fast food wars. but they shot versions with Burger King, with McDonald's, like,
oh yeah.
I think it was all based on who it wasn't based on where it, part of it was based on where you were in the world. I think like China got they didn't get Taco Bell because I don't think they even have Taco Bell over there.
Oh, they legit changed it to match other places.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But
okay.
I think also when they shot it, they hadn't gotten the sponsorship bids in yet.
Oh,
so they were waiting to see who was the one that was willing to actually pay the most to get that
That's
spot.
Good marketing right there.
That movie, that kind of movies, Demolition Man is so good.
It is good.
And then you got like that, like Big Trouble in Little China. These movies, if you read just a script or if you put them in even in a novel form, there's a good chance they would be horrible. And it's just, you've got these people, you've got Arnold in Last Action Hero making fun of himself the entire time.
Yes.
You've got
Kindergarten Cop. That's another one with him. That's amazing.
You got Sylvester Stallone and Demolition Man being him and Wesley Snipes just going over the top.
It's amazing.
And on purpose. You got Kurt Russell in Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like Jack Burton is the character's name. One of the greatest characters of all time. And then you have what is basically Jack Burton's older, more pissed off brother in Snake Plissken in Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. Two other, again, over the top, fantastic films.
Right.
So those are great. And that's segueing it back to what we were talking about. That's kind of what we're going to be getting with What If.
Right.
It's going to be a bit over the top. Like Black Panther is Star-Lord. Like, how much different is that? Is the Guardian story going to be? Like, you got Peggy Carter taking the Super Soldier Serum. You've got an evil Doctor Strange. You've got what looks to be Spider-Man fighting Wanda at one point.
Right.
Like, so there's so many things. And it looks like, unlike the comics, where each issue is just a standalone issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, story A never affected story B. Or story C, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like in this series, each episode will kind of affect the others in some way, shape, or form. So instead of it being like the story of the Punisher being Spider-Man is from Universe 2000, and then the X-Men losing the Inferno Saga is Universe 5000. It looks like this What If universe might be one universe where all these changes, and maybe not, because some of it too is like, we saw, like you said, we got an agent or Captain Carter with a frail Steve Rogers in an Iron Man suit. But then there's another one where Bucky is fighting a bunch of Marvel zombies, including a zombie Captain America. So there might still be the multiple universe because we are diving into the multiverse. But it looks like they're still going to be woven together in some way. So,
do you think that the TVA would know about any of this, or are they just leaving the TVA out of this kind of thing? Is it just speculation, or would the TVA still, would it still be operating then with that what if scenario?
Well, here's the thing with the TVA. We don't have a solid answer just yet, but I am still of the impression that, like, in the end of the series, when Loki went back to the TVA, he went to a different TVA.
Right. Because yeah.
It says, like, you know, He Who Remains talks about he was able to isolate his timeline, not right. eliminate the others, but isolate his own.
Right.
And so the TVA only deals with his timeline. Oh. So there would have to be a TVA for each other timeline that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
For at least the ones that, yeah, because they would all want to be pruned if he was the one, like, look, we got to keep ourselves separated. He won the war, so he got to make the call. So they would each need their own version of the TVA. So I believe that there are multiple TVAs. So there is a chance that TVA might play some part in What If. I doubt it. Only because trying to tie in the TVA to what is already like fantastical story where they want to focus on these characters, I think it's just a little much. Plus, you already have the Watcher. And that was the best part of the, like, that was one of the best parts of the comics is you had the Watcher would always give a little narrative and a little monologue in the beginning talking about, you know, I can see all universes. It's my job to watch this one. But there's this one next to it with the people that I watch, and here it is a little bit different. So what if this happened?
Who is the Watcher versus He Who Remains?
So you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Stan Lee's cameo where he's in the spacesuit?
Yeah.
And he's talking to those three really tall, super big-headed bald dudes?
Yeah.
Those are the Watchers. So what the Watchers do is they're an entire race of beings that are basically omnipotent, but have taken a solemn vow to only watch and document everything. So whatever their universe is, they watch, they see literally everything that goes on. Like, they don't, it's like, remember how Heimdall says he can see everyone?
Who did you just say?
Heimdall from the Thor movies.
Rainbow Bridge one. Yeah. Okay.
And he questions, like, Loki, how come I couldn't see you? You know, it was weird.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the Watcher can't lose anybody.
I'm really trying to figure out where these people, like, how are they connected? If they have this ability to see all and know all, like, are they, God, that was a huge puff of smoke you just did.
It was just, I didn't, normally wow. I kick it off and just went right at the camera.
Are you about to join the who can God, make no. the biggest God, no. puff of smoke challenge?
It's mainly because the main reason I'm not going to do it is because I'm not a douche.
But anyway, I was just curious, like, if everybody, like, not everybody, but if certain people have the ability to see all and know all, are they, if they're in the same universe or whatever, are they connected in some way? So Heimdall, you said, mm-hmm. would he be connected to the Watchers and then to, now I forgot what he said. Well, He Who Remains, but yeah. He laughed about it, saying that that's, is she still really calling me that? Yeah. And it's like, what is his actual name? Did they actually say?
It is He Who Remains.
But he was making a joke out of it. It's so because, what is his actual it's
because,
name?
Well, part of it is because he's practically lost his mind. He's lived millions of lifetimes on his own. His only companion to talk to is Miss Minutes.
Okay.
And look, Tara Strong is great and it's a cute character, but that would get real old real fast.
Okay.
So millions of lifetimes, you know, he's gone by different. And by saying that, he's also acknowledging the fact that there are variants of him by different names.
Right.
But so Heimdall's power comes from Odin. Well, not necessarily Odin. It comes from the Odin Force, which is whoever is in charge of Asgard has the Odin Force. Like right now in the comics, Thor, Odin is he might be back. Odin might be back. But he's not in power anymore because Thor is the All-Father now. Thor has the Odin Force.
Okay.
And I don't know why it's called Odin Force when before Odin, his father Bor had it. Before Odin was even born. But it's called the Odin Force. I don't know. That's something I can't explain. That's actually a Norse mythology thing. I don't know. But his power comes from that. Like, his power is a gift of the Odin Force. Heimdall's is. The Watchers are a species of beings that live in a different dimension and thus can see different universes and have the ability. They're basically like a human, not human, a humanoid computer. Like, they can take in everything and remember. They can't forget anything. So they remember. So they see literally everything, and they remember literally everything. They are literally the catalogs of each universe. So a watcher is assigned to each universe to watch and watch only. And the watcher that we're going to see in What If is called Uatu. And Uatu, wow. He's kind of like Mobius in that he's a bit of a rebel. Because he has actually interfered a couple times. Like, when Galactus first came to Earth to eat Earth, he gave the Fantastic Four the weapon called the Ultimate Nullifier, which is the one thing that scared Galactus and said he would leave and not come back to Earth.
So would they be, like, a different race?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a different...
Like, the same type of being, but a different race, like, kind of like us. We're the same, you know, beings, well, they're like, different races.
It's more like how... Like, Peter Quill, Star-Lord, is from Earth. He's a Terran. But right. Gamora is from her planet.
Okay, yeah, so it's, gotcha. It's, okay. So
beyond a different race, it's a different species.
Right, okay, cool.
And that's got what they it. Are. They're from a different planet, but it's an interdimensional planet. Like, their species lives, I think, in between dimensions, if I remember correctly. If you know the exact place where they live, please comment down below and correct me if I'm wrong. But...
Well, that's neat.
Yeah, so they're like, so... And... So we're going to get to see, and they're very stoic and whatnot. And, but like I said, they literally see every single thing. So when I say every single thing, I mean, while Captain America is fighting, you know, a villain in New York, you're clipping your toenails at home and he sees that at the exact same time. Like, he sees it all and it all gets remembered. He can't forget anything. That's their job. Like, they take a vow to never interact, never interfere, but to just catalog all of history. So they're immortal in a sense. They can be killed, but they don't die of old age. Like, you can physically kill them.
Okay. So then another question is, like, with Doctor Strange having his ability to see, like, when he saw, like, the infinite number of possibilities and they only won the one. So, like, would Doctor Strange then be... Or is it just because, like, where does that come from and how does that?
So, in,
like,
in,
his obviously was because, well, God, I don't even know.
Time stone.
That was it?
He used the time stone to do it. So now with the time stone being gone, he couldn't do it.
Okay.
He used the power.
It was because he had the time stone.
Yeah.
That was it. Mm-hmm. That gave him the ability to see every infinite possibility.
Yes.
Huh. So then, okay. So then going kind of off subject, but not really. Men in Black, when I forgot the name of that guy that was just a unicorn basically. And he had.
Oh yeah. From Men in Black 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he could see every possible,
possibility.
Yeah, so every possibility.
His is a little bit different. So with the Watchers, they can't see into the future.
Okay, they're only seeing
things,
he did.
They're only seeing things as they happen. So they see possibilities of past events.
Okay.
So that's what the What If is. It's like, well, okay, well, what if Frank Castle, the Punisher, got bit by the spider instead of Peter Parker?
Okay, but, you know, that, cool.
Like, so it's more like, it's almost like it's almost like fan fiction. Uh-huh. In a way that the Watcher's so bored, he's just making up fan fiction.
It's, right.
Like, that's the very simplified answer to that. Whereas that character in Men in Black 3, who, by the way, that actor is in Doctor Strange.
Nice. Okay.
He's the doctor who doesn't see that bullet is causing, when he calls that guy brain dead.
Yeah.
And Rachel McAdams' character goes and gets Strange and brings him
yes.
in. That doctor is that guy.
Wow. Nice. So, okay.
Nice segue. Nice tie-in.
Yeah.
But that character in Men in Black 3, he sees
everything.
Yeah, he sees time in every forward,
he
backward.
Saw the past and what happened to make that past down to how a baseball was made.
Yeah,
it was
like
insane.
He saw,
I loved it.
He could see every possibility, past, present, and future, all at the same time. And as he said, mm-hmm. it's completely annoying. As he put, I think it was, he said it was annoying or nerve wracking.
I'm sure it would be.
So he, there's another character that's like that, and it's in DC, and it's from Watchmen. Did you watch? Oh. You saw the movie Watchmen,
yeah.
right?
It's been a while. I will yeah. have to go back and watch it again, but I remember loving the movie.
Dr. Manhattan, the blue guy.
Okay, yeah.
He sees time exactly like that. So
wow, okay.
He sees the past, the present, and the future all at the same time.
Hmm.
And on HBO, they had a Watchmen series that came out last year, I want to say, or maybe the year before. It might have been 2019, which was amazing.
Hmm.
And it really dove into Dr. Manhattan and his abilities, and there's a great episode breaking it all down. I recommend going watching that. That series is so good. First off, it's got Jeremy Irons, who's always great. Die Hard with a Vengeance, yes please.
Yeah.
He plays the older, because this takes place after the movie, but it's not connected to the movie. It's connected to the comic book.
Okay.
So instead of it being that Dr. Manhattan supposedly blew up New York and Russia and all that in the movie, in this one, they go back to the comic book realm where an alien giant squid came down and attacked New York. And it turns out that Ozymandias created the alien in a lab, and that aliens don't exist. And that it was just him. He created that to try to bring the world together for world peace by killing millions upon millions. But it's that. But now it's like 30 years later. So we have an older Ozymandias played by Jeremy Irons. There's a Dr. Manhattan. There's this great thing about the police. Masks are completely forbidden. They've gone back to where superheroes are not allowed. So the only people that wear masks are the cops, because people were targeting cops. And so it's just like
that kind of sounds like Incredibles too.
A little bit,
where
yeah,
the superheroes
yeah, yeah, yeah.
couldn't wear the mat, they couldn't.
Well, even
yeah.
Incredibles, even Incredibles 1, like they were like,
yeah,
superheroes. And it's
everybody
like,
had to be in hiding.
But where Incredibles did that in a funny way,
right?
This is a much more like whoa kind of way.
Yeah,
I would if you have HBO Max, I would highly recommend you go watch Watchmen. That
awesome.
series is so good. And it's also a great allegory.
Isn't Jada Pinkett Smith in there?
No, it's oh God, why can I not? I was gonna say her name, and then you said that name, and now I can't think. Give me a second. I'll look
I thought
up.
She was in there.
Give me a second. I will look it up. Watchmen TV series. It is. Why not Regina King?
Oh, okay.
But it's
I know
also
my
got,
parents
like, you've got,
really enjoyed that series.
You've got Don John. I'm surprised, but we won't dive into why I'm surprised. And once you watch it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I see why you're surprised. But you've got people like Don Johnson. You've got I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, and I apologize. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. He was the one who played Black Manta in the Aquaman movie.
Nice, okay.
He's a tremendous actor. He's also in The Greatest Showman. He plays Zendaya's brother.
I love that movie.
He is the other trapeze artist.
Nice. Okay.
Love that dude. Tim Blake Nelson's in it. Gene Smart plays an older Laurie Blake. So Laurie Blake was the one that dated Dr. Manhattan before going with Owlman.
Okay.
She plays the older version of her, and now she works for the FBI hunting down heroes. So she's kind of flipped on her own people kind of thing.
Wow,
It's really, really, that's such, that show. Like, I like the movie. A lot of people didn't really care for the movie. It didn't do well. It did better, like, it got a cult following later, but I think it's a great translation of the comic book for the most part. But like I said, the ending has changed a lot. Mm. And it also depends on which cut you have. You have to watch a director's cut.
Okay.
Because if you don't watch the director's cut, it's not good. Like the director's cut's much better. But this show, wow, it was so good. And it was one of those, HBO Max did it where it was once a week, just like how Loki and Falcon and all that was.
Uh-huh.
In that show, at least with like Loki and Falcon and that, as much as I was anticipating the next week, I kind of had a little bit of an idea where it was going.
Yeah.
With Watchmen, I had no idea because they were treading all new ground because nothing had ever explored this section of this universe. So there was nothing to go off of. There was no, so I'm just like, what is going on? What is happening? And then the twists in it are so, so good.
Well, speaking of that and talking about like Captain America and Winter Soldier, the, I guess, quote unquote, bad Captain America, because I don't really have any other term to like describe him.
John Walker.
Yeah. What?
U.S. Like, agent.
Okay, U.S. agent. Okay.
He will be now known as U.S. agent. But go on.
Are they going to do anything with that? Because I feel like it was just a huge cliffhanger. They just left us hanging, and then they're not getting another series. It's kind of crap.
Well, we are getting them in a movie.
Okay.
But did you get a chance to watch Black Widow yet?
Yeah, I did watch that movie, but we're not going to talk about it tonight.
That's
we'll
fine.
Talk we'll about talk about it with Q. With Q.
Yes. Yeah. But let's take a second. You saw the post-credit scene.
I don't remember it.
It's present day Yelena visiting the gravestone of Natasha.
Nope, I didn't watch it. Crap. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch it. Well, that's okay. We have to talk about it with Q. Yeah. So.
But that'll help kind of answer your question.
Okay, cool.
Because remember how when Falcon and Winter Soldier happened and that big reveal of Julia Louis-Dreyfus' character was just like, oh, nobody saw that cameo coming. But then they said, yeah, but her cameo was supposed to actually be predated by Black Widow. You didn't see her in Black Widow, did you?
No.
Because she's in the post-credit scene.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And I can see now, like, from you saying that, how the production got mixed up because it was supposed to happen before all of that. So
she is building a team. It's going to be a combination of the Thunderbolts, which the Thunderbolts were run by Baron Zemo. And what it was is they pretended to be heroes. They took up different monikers, changed their costumes, but it was all villains. And what it was, they were supposed to like ingratiate themselves into the hero world and then use that. Kind of like how Hydra infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. That's kind of what they were going to be doing. They were like, we're going to tear it down from the inside out. However, the villains started really enjoying being heroes. Like, they're like, wow, this feels a lot better than doing what I was doing. So they eventually did become heroes, but part of that was also that the reason they're called the Thunderbolts is they were financed by General Thunderbolt Ross. The guy who's always mad at the Hulk.
Nice.
But so on top of that, there is what's called the Dark Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Avengers were called the New Avengers because Norman Osborn joined the Thunderbolts after they became a true hero team. When they admitted, like, look, we were villains. This is who we were. But now we're heroes. And, you know, we understand if you don't trust us, but we're still going to do the right thing. Well, Norman Osborn was brought back from the dead again.
Hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Say what you're going to say to them. Brandon, my son is sick, y'all. So I'm just going to check on him. And I will be right back.
Yes. So as I was saying, you've got Norman Osborn who joined the Thunderbolts, who then used that goodwill to take over as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then developed the Dark Avengers, which he called the New Avengers, and it turned out they were all villains as well. So that was it. Hopefully Brandon is doing okay. I will say, get better soon. It is possibly what we think it might be. Fingers crossed that his test comes back tomorrow negative on that. But it's one of those things that I got to kind of explain it to her too. But the Dark Avengers mixed with the Thunderbolts is what we're getting with Contessa. Because she was part of the recruiting of these villains to be heroes. And I think in the MCU, it's more of a, let's find people with a very blurry moral compass, very blurry moral line. Let's find people that we could probably make them think they're doing the right thing, but they're really doing our agenda. And the post-credit scene in Black Widow really leads to that. Because Contessa just flat out lied to Yelena. And that's setting up the Hawkeye series. So that's going to be really good. And she's back. Okay, is he doing good?
Hey, yeah, he's doing okay.
Good, 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 good.
I just had to check his temp.
Not a problem.
Are you gonna edit this out?
No. I keep it in. It works. It's fine.
Well, sorry, people.
It,
COVID
hey,
is,
it
it's,
happens.
COVID might be a thing right now, and I've known people that had it, but the doctor is kind of saying that he might have COVID, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
But like I was saying, and I said, well, I do kind of have to explain this to you.
What were you saying?
So Norman Osborn, who's the Green Goblin, he
Yes.
gets resurrected once again in the comics after like the third or fourth or fifth or thousandth time. He ends up joining the Thunderbolts after they've come out as like, look, we were villains, but we want to be heroes. So
Right.
he joins them in a big battle, and that's enough goodwill that he actually gets to take over SHIELD as head of SHIELD. He then uses his Plaguesmen as the head of SHIELD to bring a bunch of other villains into Avengers roles, like the Son of Wolverine. He takes over and becomes Iron Patriot, which you saw the Iron Patriot armor in War in Iron Man 3. He takes all these villains and puts them like he makes them hot like he makes Bullseye, the villain from Daredevil, he makes him Hawkeye. Daken, Wolverine's son, becomes Wolverine. Like they actually take the monikers of these characters as well. US Agent becomes
Okay.
Captain America again, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what Contessa is doing. Is she is building her own combination of Dark Avengers and Thunderbolts. And she's
Would
there.
Red Skull be in that? Or is
No.
Red Skull gone?
He's gone.
Like, what's happened to him?
He's on Vormir for the end to the end of time.
That's it. How did
Yep.
he even end up there? Nobody
The
says.
space cube, the Tesseract, in the Captain America, when he grabs the Tesseract with his bare hand.
Yeah.
He's still only human, so he couldn't handle it, and it sucked him up into space. And it's also be I don't know. They don't really explain it fully.
No, they
The best
don't.
understanding I can give is that in his quest, because he's thinking about the Infinity Stones, because wherever you like, if you like, I if you don't know how to use the Tesseract, it's gonna go based on your thought. If you know how to use it, you can think of, I want to go here, and the space stone takes you where you want to go. That's what
Okay.
Loki just wanted to get to the opposite side of the world, which is why he ends up in Mongolia in Loki. Thanos knew how to use it in the sense that, okay, let's go to my ship, or let's go here. He knew exactly
Yeah.
how to use it like, like a teleporter.
Yeah.
The Red Skull was just thinking about he wanted to, it read his subconscious at that point, because he's like, I want power, I want all the stones. It sent him to Vormir because his soul is obviously very dirty. So now his punishment is he is banished to be the guardian of the Soul Stone, seemingly till the end of time.
Okay.
Until I guess maybe somebody else that's worse than him comes along, gets a hold of the Tesseract. But now that the stones are gone, he's literally trapped there forever.
They don't like show that or even say that though at
No,
all.
it's mainly because.
He's just there. And then
Yeah.
when we see it in Avengers, I was just like, what? Like, why are you here right
Well,
now?
part of that was that, I mean, there was other plans for Red Skull, but Hugo Weaving, who played Red Skull in the first film, he has this weird habit. He plays, of course, he's the lead, he's the King Elf in the Lord of the Rings movies. He's V for Vendetta. He's Agent Smith in The Matrix. But he also has a really bad habit of just completely bad-mouthing every film he does. Like he was like, Marvel's the worst studio. This was awful. I don't ever want to do it. Like da, 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 da. He did that with all kinds of stuff. And like, so they're like, all right, well, if you don't want to do it, then we're not going to bring you back. So they had basically
Okay.
just like, we could just write him off. Then they got the idea of bringing him back. And so it's not Hugo Weaving that's playing him in Infinity War and Endgame. I can't remember the actor's name, but it's a different actor. But that's kind of like one of those things that unfortunately it just doesn't really ever get answered because part of that is the actor's fault for, just leaving the role.
Okay.
But
Well, moving on.
so again, like you're gonna get the Dark Avengers. You've now got US Agent in it. Yelena will be part of it at least for a time. I do see her taking up the mantle of Black Widow with the real Avengers. But that end credit scene, which you haven't seen, is she'll be okay. So the end credit scene, forget it, I'm just you can go watch it, but I'm gonna ruin it for you anyways. So she gets out of the car or this truck, and she has a dog with her because remember how she said she wanted a dog? She named a dog Fanny, which was that really bad alias that Mason gave to Black Widow. So there's a lot of, like, she really loved Natasha. And she goes over and she's cleaning up her grave. Her gravestone. You see it says Natasha Romanoff. You know, it says sister, friend, Avenger. I think it said friend. Sister something, Avenger. And, or sister, daughter, loving sister, caring daughter, Avenger. Something like that. So she's cleaning it off and she does a little whistle. That whistle that the two of them have. Where they, you know, communicate with each other. And it was something that, you know, so she whistled hoping she'd get a whistle back. Apparently there was a version where there was a whistle back and then it went to black, but they decided not to do that. Instead, we get somebody being very obnoxious and blowing their nose very loudly. And the camera pans up and it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Contessa saying she's allergic to the Midwest. And which also means that Natasha is buried in Ohio where they grew up. Which I thought was very fitting. But then she goes, hey, you're not supposed to talk to me when I'm on vacation. Yelena says, so Yelena's already working for the Contessa. She goes, well, I just thought you'd like this new mission given to you in person because it's the person who killed Natasha. And she hands her an iPad and it's Clint Barton Hawkeye. So Yelena will be in the Hawkeye series going after Hawkeye thinking he's the one who killed Natasha. When in fact, okay, she sacrificed herself. So again, that's where they're made to believe they're heroes, but they're being manipulated. Because obviously Hawkeye didn't kill Natasha. He is an Avenger and he tried to stop her.
Right.
So that'll have to be fleshed out. John Walker, U.S. agent, thinks he's a hero and he's obviously not. But he thinks what he's doing is right.
So right.
Obviously, that's an easy person to manipulate as well. You just right. inflate his ego and keep telling him you're doing it for America and he'll do it. so as we build, because we're building to the Young Avengers, because we have Ant-Man's daughter, Cassie, who becomes yep. Stature. We have Kate Bishop in the Hawkeye series, played by the great Haley Steinfeld. We have America Chavez, who's going to show up in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. We have Isaiah Bradley's grandson Eli Bradley, who's already kind of showed up. Iron Lad is a younger version of Kang the Conqueror, so mm-hmm. we've laid that groundwork. Mm-hmm. So we're building to not only the Young Avengers, we're building to a Dark Avengers Thunderbolts amalgamation as well. So it'll be very interesting to see how the future of MCU goes. And then the what if series is about to just explode what's possible. Because even though these are side stories that aren't actually happening, it's still stuff that could happen. Or it could be like, okay, if these are possibilities, what could actually happen? You know, so that's going to open it up big. And then we've got Shang-Chi coming up. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which looks amazing. It's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets a Jackie Chan film. And I couldn't be more excited. I'm such a huge Jackie Chan fan because he made, like, Bruce Lee is phenomenal, but he is always superhuman. Nobody believes that man is real. Like, you see him do the stuff he does, just like, you're not, like, it's just, you never believe he could be beaten. Like, even in his movies, when he's getting beaten, you never think he's going to be beaten because the guy just seems superhuman. Jackie Chan was just, he always made it seem like he was a regular dude.
Yeah.
But he was also super, he was doing things that are like, that even Bruce Lee couldn't do because he does these stunts and these things and just like, but his fights, unlike Bruce Lee's where it's very much like uniform kung fu, it's uniform yeah. style martial arts. It's very like the Jackie Chan fights are very much just one. It's not, okay, we have five guys fighting us one at a time.
Right.
No, they're all five coming at like, and he's,
you yeah.
know, and he's,
and getting, he uses them. Yeah. As a weapon.
Using... But he's also, he's getting punched a lot. He's yes. taking a lot of damage. And he's literally, like, instead of him just, like, muscling up and fighting it off, like, he'll do that sometime at time. He does, like, these like, called Hulk-up moments. Like, Hulk yeah. Hogan used to do where he would, like, get punched and Hulk-up. And he'd be like, ha, 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 ho, 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 ho. And he would, like, all of a sudden kill over. Because the pain, like, finally, like, oh, too much. I can't take it. So, I absolutely love Jackie Chan films so much.
Me too.
So that's why I think Shang-Chi is going to be good, is because the fighting in it does seem very, like, almost over-the-top Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon style. but at the same time very grounded and very much like I said, like Jackie Chan style. And Cinnamon Liu is just he looks like it's gonna be amazing. We're getting a proper Mandarin. But the Ten Rings and what that movie's gonna do, because it brings back the Abomination. It's got Wong fighting in that tournament. He's fighting the Abomination.
Nice.
How did he pull the short straw? I have no idea. But that's not a person you want to be in a cage with.
That would be interesting to see. I would, you know, I know I talked about I would love to see Jim Carrey in the MCU. Jackie Chan would be another one that I would love to see in the MCU as well. That would be amazing.
I don't know who he would play. I don't care who he would play.
Yeah, somebody please just do
Make
another
him
character.
the Avengers janitor who has to constantly fight people trying to
Something.
break in.
Yeah.
That's all I
That
need.
would be
That's
cool.
it. Just give me that. The things that man can do with a mop and a mop bucket. If you've ever seen any of
Yes.
his
Oh my God,
movies.
yes. I think it would be cool to bring Stomp into that too. Like have him be like a part of Stomp. Do you remember Stomp where they did like
Oh, yeah.
the music with the
Yeah.
brooms and stuff, and then just have it like break out to where Jackie Chan's kicking people's butts. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I would, God, I would give anything to see Jackie Chan in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about with Jason next week. So we're talking about the how Chef has a correlation with Iron Man. So let's tell people a little bit what we're going to talk with about Jason.
So one of my favorite channels on YouTube
Or
is,
Q, sorry, do they
yeah,
know them at as Jason?
I put his full name on there.
Okay, good.
So, one of my favorite channels on YouTube for the last decade has been a channel called Mr. Sunday Movies. They have a great podcast called The Weekly Planet, and they do these great videos like Caravan of Garbage and all this other stuff, and it's really, really fun. And these two guys out of Australia. Well, their editor occasionally makes videos talking about films as well, and the latest one to come out from Ben, their editor, was on the movie Chef, the Jon Favreau film he made after Iron Man 2.
One of my
It's a
favorites.
fantastic film. I
Love that
recommend
movie.
everybody go see it. And next week we're going to dive deeper into it because in that video he makes the allegory. The premise of Chef is kind of like Jon Favreau explaining the issues he had with Iron Man 2 and why he left the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a director. And once I saw that, as somebody who, I mean, I study film. I have a degree in film production. It has been my life for so long, and I didn't see it, and it almost made me angry. I'm like, how did I not notice this? Because I know about the tension behind the scenes and whatnot.
Because
So,
he did it so well,
yeah,
you wouldn't even think
that is
about
true.
it.
Like, it's one of those things that if you don't really know what's going on, or
Right.
even if you knew, you may not realize what this film meant.
Still,
Like,
yeah.
so next week we're going to dive into that. We're also going to have a little fun next week because that's going to be a slightly serious conversation.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Because next week, I'm going to put Denise and I'm going to put Q to the test in a geek versus noob quiz. And the
Ooh.
quiz is on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I found a BuzzFeed quiz. Once again, thanks to Mr. Sunday Movies, he brought my attention to it. And it's one question from every film in the Infinity Saga.
Okay.
So we're going to have a little scoreboard, we're going to have tallies.
What do we get if we
I was
win?
just thinking, like, we gotta maybe come up with a prize.
I want that coldest water bottle that you
Oh,
have right
you want my
there.
water bottle?
Yeah, that will
Maybe,
be mine if I win.
You know what? Actually, we'll do this. As coldest water is one of our sponsors. One of the best things about coldest water, well, not the best thing. The best thing is the fact that it actually works, and it will keep your water
Yeah.
cold for 36 hours. And I can attest to that. I had Gatorade ice cold for 3 days. It
That's
was
why I want
awesome.
one, and I want it
But
to be my prize.
one of the coolest things they can do is they can personalize your water bottle with
Ah,
your name on it. So
awesome.
here's the deal. You can go to coldestwater.com, use the promo code Vince, VINCE, you get 20% off. Whoever wins
Nice.
next week, I will use my own promo code. I
Yay.
will buy them a personalized bottle. And you can either get the sports style with the straw or you can get the screw on top style.
I like the straw.
There will be different colors. They have
I'm just
teals.
telling you what I want because I'm gonna win.
Yeah, I know. They have different colors. They have teal and black, they have
Yeah.
purple, they have purple. They have, so I'll let you pick the color.
Awesome.
What, exactly what name you want in the
Sorry,
bottle.
Sorry, Q. You're already going down. So I need to have that bottle. It's mine.
if Jason had been feeling like he's not feeling well, which is why he's not here today, if he had been feeling a little bit better but still not great, he probably would be like, no, let's not do it this week. It's like, I was like, so hopefully he'll be all good by next week.
Yeah.
And he'll be 100%. You'll be 100%. Hopefully Brandon's 100%.
Yeah.
Everybody will be 100%. We will have fun with this. We're going to talk chef. We're going to talk that.
And watch the movie before we talk about it, please. It's so good.
If you haven't seen Chef, please, by all means, go watch it. I believe it's on Netflix now.
I believe it's on Netflix now. I'm sure you can find it.
It's on
a whole bunch of places. Yeah. I bought it, so I don't know.
I own it too, so. But I mean, even if you want to go rent it on it, I think if it's not free on Amazon, which it might be, you can rent it for like $2. So it's worth it. Do it.
It is so worth it. So go watch it, just buy it because you're going to want to watch it again.
Yeah, it's so good. So
are you doing another smoke cloud? Let's see how big you can do that one. Ready, go. Ready, go. How big? Oh, the other one was way bigger.
Yeah. I think the coil, I think the coil's starting to die. So we've got, like you said, we've got Shang-Chi coming up. What If's coming up August 11th, which, by the way, it's not 100% confirmed, but I might have a special guest for the first episode of us covering What If.
Nice.
She has to check her schedule.
Who is it?
It is a friend of mine named Amanda. She's on TikTok.
Yay, Amanda.
She is amazing. She has these really funny videos where, like, the best way I can explain it is she plays Marvel, and then she busts in the room and she grabs Marvel by the face and says, "You better give me this or I'm going to, you know, or it's, you're going to end your life." It's very funny. Like, she's attacking, you know, that kind of stuff.
Nice. Okay.
And she's got, like, I think near 200,000 followers on TikTok. Big channel, doing really well. So she's going to try and come on. If not the first week, we will have her on during What If.
Awesome.
So that'll be great to have. I'm working on some other guests as well. Working on some interviews. Oh, before we go, speaking of interviews, let's talk about it. Big news for not just our podcast, but also ScreenGeek.net, which, by the way, go down into the description. There's always a link to ScreenGeek.net where I'm the senior writer. I officially got my press access for New York Comic Con 2021.
Yay.
So I will be going to New York City, one of my favorite places, and I will be going there in October for a week. And I'll be doing TikTok videos while I'm there. I'll be recording one of the episodes of the podcast straight from New York City. And as long as the Wi-Fi works, I'm going to do it on the roof so we get a nice backdrop of the city.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm staying at a great hotel called the Leo House. It's actually a Catholic-run hotel, I found out after I booked it. It's got a chapel in it and everything. But it's a beautiful place right by the Javits Center where the convention is going on. I'll be doing interviews with celebrities and stuff. As soon as they announce the lineup, I'll start getting my access to who I'm going to be interviewing. So we'll talk about that.
Cool.
So one thing I want to do is I will, obviously it's October. We got time. We're going to build to it. I'll try to keep mentioning it in each episode.
Yeah.
As we find out who I'm going to be able to interview, I would like the fans to put in the comments maybe some questions that they really want answered.
That's a really good idea.
So
yeah.
And let's not do it, what's your favorite sandwich? Let's really dive into these. I always try to ask the question that nobody else has asked. The best example I can give to that is when I did 2019's NYCC, and I got to interview the Impractical Jokers. They were there for their new show, Misery Index, with Jameela Jamil, which, by the way, Jameela Jamil is playing the villain in She-Hulk. So that's pretty awesome. And hopefully she'll be there so I can ask her more questions about that. But everybody was asking kind of the same basic questions that the Jokers always get asked in interviews. How long have you guys been friends? How do you guys know what to do? What's the line you don't want to cross? But I asked about their movie because they were planning a movie and all of a sudden it just disappeared. The film just went away. It got shelved. And they were like, oh, wow, nobody's even at, like, people forgot we had a movie coming out. They were impressed enough with that I got invited to the red carpet event for the movie the following February, and I got to hang out with them in the after party, and that's where I hung out with Joe, Q, Sal, all those guys. Hung out with Paula Abdul, who, by the way, absolutely amazing human being.
Yes.
So humble. And so is Brooke Shields. She was there because her husband directed the film. And here's one of the most beautiful women from the 80s. Almost every guy had a picture of her on their wall. And yet she was just the most, again, humble person. Extremely tall, too.
Yeah.
She's over 6 feet tall in sneakers. She had to hunch down to take a picture with me. It was weird.
Well, Vince, I'm really excited to hear more about the people that you're going to get to interview. That's going to be really awesome. I know that they're you're going to have a lot of great questions for them, and I hope that we come up with our own.
That's definitely something we're going to kind of workshop throughout the podcast too, because
yeah,
I've always looked at, like, I like interviews like Hot Ones. I think Hot Ones is one of the best interview shows.
That is a great interview.
Not just because of the wings and how people react to them, which is always funny. But Sean Evans asked like really deep, like, and you always hear, like, it never fails. They're like, how did you even know? Like, oh my God, what a question. Everybody's like so taken back by the questions he asked. And that's what I want to give you guys. I want these interviews to mean something and not be regurgitating the same stuff over and over again that you already know. Or just something these people have already been asked, so we get this generic cookie cutter answer that has no passion behind it. I want to talk to these people, get real answers to real questions you actually have.
So, you know why Hot Ones works is because the PR has been like pushed in their brains so much to where they have programmed answers. Yeah. Eating a really freaking spicy hot chicken wing, they have no choice but to break that and answer truthfully. So that's why that is so great.
Yeah.
Too.
And like I said, he does his research, and it's just like, you always see those, like, there's a great clip of an interview with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal for that movie Life. Mm-hmm. Remember that space movie Life, which is a great film. And
so, I don't want to cut it down, but I gotta go. Brandon's
that's right.
He's really, really
we've
sick.
Already hit the hour.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. So we'll keep this conversation going next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it more. Again, please like and comment and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you know when we're on.
Sorry, y'all. Sick child.
Sick child comes first, and that's great. But we've already hit the hour mark. We just, again, it's what we do. We ramble. It's great. And you can ramble along with us. Like I said, leave it in the comments. Like and subscribe.
Absolutely.
And next week, like I said, we're going to have we're gonna talk about Chef and it being an allegory for Jon Favreau's time on Iron Man 2, and we're going to do a Marvel movie quiz, and we're going to pit geek versus noob, and we're going to see who wins, and they're going to get a custom water bottle.
It's going to be mine.
All right. Take care, guys. Be
safe.
Take care of yourselves. We love you.
God bless. Bye.